good to be here. I only have one regret. I didn't wear my Dallas Cowboys t-shirt, so I see Frisco and I see the Dolphins, and poor Cowboys stayed home. So I just wanted to show you this video because it's the 111th year of the Nazarene Church. Started there in, I believe it's Pilot Point, Texas in 1908. And I really loved what J.B. Chapman said. Something about fire, and I wish I could quote it. Did anybody hear that? It's got to be fresh in your mind. We're not happy with smoke, but it's all about fire. You know, Jesus is the only one that's going to light that fire and keep it going, and it's what we need in the churches today, is we need that fresh fire from God. So be praying for that revival across our churches. So this video didn't have anything to do with the sermon, so that was a freebie. So the title of this message today is Four Goods of the Gospel. And we're going to take a look at four goods out of this passage that's up here behind me. But before we begin, I want to ask you just several questions. If I had a classroom, if I had students, if I had assignments and tests and exams, as well as conferences and grade day, one could easily think that I am what?
A teacher.
And there are many kinds of teachers, but today we're going to discuss one teacher specifically, and that's going to be, you guessed it, I'm sure, Jesus. The ultimate teacher, the one that we all look to as if we have a relationship with him. He has so many things for us to learn from him. And even today, I believe, and I believe you think so as well, is that Jesus has the classroom, and he has students, and he has assignments, and he has exams and conferences, and there will be a judgment day, and I call that grade day. The Lord is our great teacher, and as we look at this passage of Scripture today, we're going to look at this as Jesus being our teacher. He's the good teacher, and we are hopefully good students. I guess that's the bigger question, is what kind of students are we? Are we learning? Are we diving into Scripture? Are we praying? Are we applying to our lives what Jesus is teaching us? So let's turn to our passage of Scripture, Luke 6, 40 through 45. It says, "The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Moving on to 43. "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." So we have this good teacher. A good teacher has disciples, and Jesus has disciples and students and learners and apprentices. We talked about last week in just the previous passages of Scripture before this. And we obviously know that this good teacher is Jesus, but we know that all who are taught by the good teacher will be trained to be like their teacher. And that's very important. We don't just listen to our good teacher. We don't just listen to Jesus just to listen and let it go in one ear and out the other. We listen to Christ because he's training us, and he's turning us into his disciples. We will be like him, not God, but we will be like him. We will walk like he walked on this earth, and he's calling us to be like him, Christ-like. And there's a lot of scriptures that tell us that we are called to be Christ-like disciples. I want to share with you now, and I remember a teacher back in the day who everyone in school wanted to learn from. It was in high school, my sophomore year. And every kid that I knew, every friend of mine, we all signed up for Mr. Hayslip's class. He was a teacher that we wanted to learn under. He was a teacher that with enthusiasm, he loved his students, and he was just the ultimate high school teacher. I think you probably know what I mean. Probably everyone has had a teacher like this before. But there are teachers, and because I'm a bus driver, and bus drivers and leaders in the system, that it just seems like they hate what they're doing. And we wonder, you know, why are they grumpy? Why are they rude? And it seems like they could care less about teaching. Maybe they lost their passion or from the beginning, but maybe they forgot they are student. Their students are watching their every move. And I know that Jesus never forgot that. Jesus knows that his students, his disciples, are watching his example throughout his walk on this earth, and as he calls us to be led by him even today. I would group that lost teacher as basically like a false teacher. They say they're teaching, but they're teaching the wrong things. They're teaching that they just don't have patience for their students. They're teaching that they're just sour and hypocritical. That is not the good teacher that we're talking about today. Jesus is the good teacher. I don't know, but I know that a good teacher like Jesus will fully train us to be like him. And if we take the time to be the students, here's a key. If we take the time to be students, we're in his word, we're praying, we're attending church basically as part of coming together and learning who Jesus is, he's going to train us up into the ways of being Christ-like. And he's going to use brothers and sisters in Christ to do that as well. So if we take the time to learn and understand that the student humbles themselves and realizes the teacher, in this case, which is Jesus, is the true teacher, is the right teacher, that we will practice the lessons that the teacher gives us. I couldn't tell you how many times I've read or talked to people who they have their way and they respect that there's a God. They believe that Jesus was who he says he was, but they still can't get over the fact that they want to do it their way and not God's way. The student is not above the teacher. We've got to understand that, and it takes a humbleness on our part to realize that our teacher is the true teacher, and we need to understand that our lives will reflect his life and be Christ-like, and we need to make sure that we're in the right place and that we are not above our teacher, whether it's through pride or whatever is getting us. So what are some of the teachings of Jesus? Well, one's forgiveness. Another is witnessing. Loving the Lord. Love your neighbor as yourself. He teaches us how to pray. And he said to his apostles to come and follow him. He tells us to come and follow him. He tells us not to give in to temptation. To be sincere. To be like a child. To have faith and take up our cross. And that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Those are just some of the things that Christ taught, as our good teacher taught us. And remember, once again, the student is not above the teacher. We must humble ourselves before God and realize that he is God and we are not. And I realize if you're a Christian, you know that, but sometimes our actions don't really necessarily go that direction. And so we need to be possibly reminded of that today. It kind of reminds me of the school bus that I drive. The first rule on the bus, and I asked some kids what the first rule was, and they raised their hand and they said, to sit down. Well, that should be the first rule because I say it 1,000 times a day, probably without exaggeration. But the first rule on the bus is that the driver has the authority of the bus. And you know, our teacher has the authority over our lives, and that is Christ. And we need to understand that. In the bus, you think that's ever been tested before?
No, never.
Oh, no. Let me tell you, that you point to number one all the time. And then the parents come, and you're still pointing to the number one rule of the bus. So, anyways. So, the good tree is an important thing here as well. This is just a glimpse of who our good teacher is. And we're going to also look at the good tree and see what that's all about. The good tree produces good fruit. Produces good fruit. The good tree cannot produce bad fruit. In this case, a bad tree represents one who doesn't know Christ, one who is living their own direction and their own way. And the good tree is the one who knows Christ and is able to learn and to trust in the one who is the author of life. Without faith in Christ, we'll not recognize God's goodness or differentiate the good from the bad. We need our great teacher to teach us. And we must listen. The Matthew account here, Matthew 7, 19 through 21. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So let us also look at the third good, and that's the good treasure of the gospel. The good treasure of the gospel. So we have the good teacher, we have the good tree, we have the good treasure of the gospel. The fruit itself is a much wanted treasure. I don't think there's anyone in the world that doesn't want the treasure that our good teacher offers. But we can't do it without Christ in our lives. We can't have it without Christ in our lives. Treasure comes from the good teacher, the good tree, being made into the likeness of the teacher, produces good treasures. What is this treasure? Let's look at verse 44. It says, each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from the thorn bushes or grapes from briars. This treasure is what our good teacher has to offer those who listen and learn and apply to their lives. And it's very simple. It's very something you've heard probably many, many times. The good teacher offers Galatians 5:22 lifestyle. The false teacher offers life that will be wasted and burnt in the end, like the acts of the flesh in Galatians 5:19. This is what the false teacher offers. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. So what is the treasure that our good teacher offers? It's Galatians 5:22 through 26. Love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. And I want to point you to the warning at the very end of this. We have love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, and self-control, and faithfulness. And he says, let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Because when we get the love and the patience and the goodness and the kindness from our good teacher, it's very easy for us to say, well, look at me, I got love. Look at me, I've got patience. Look at me, I am so faithful. Look at me. That's That's, we're totally missing the point, but I think it's great that he points out, let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. God is the one who offers love and joy and peace and patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. And it's through his power and his teaching and his strength that we can have the good treasures that he has to offer. So, we have to make sure we treat it with humbleness and respect and honor, knowing that this is God pouring into our lives. So, let's move on. When we know who the teacher is, and we know bad fruit doesn't come from good trees, we reap the treasure from the fruit of his Holy Spirit. If we invite someone over for apple pie dessert, they aren't going to get a juniper berry pie. Have you ever thought about that before? I looked out the tree out the window as I was writing this message, and I thought, what's the opposite of good, nice apple pie? Well, that juniper berry pie would be awful disgusting and awful bitter. And I know you all know what junipers are around here. And when God offers us good fruit, he's not going to slip in some crazy juniper berry that's going to make us sick and make us, I don't know, maybe someone around here has eaten it before, but I never have, never will. But that's not the God we serve. Our teacher offers us good things from good trees and good fruit. If we, now, being a Christian produces good fruits from the Spirit of God. And if not, then we need to allow God to examine our hearts and to ask Jesus and his fruits, more of his fruits in our lives. If we recognize one of the things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, if we look at that and we're like, wow, I am not there. Last week we talked about loving your enemies. Man, if you left here last week said, I am not there. I struggle with loving my enemies. We need to bow before our King, before our Savior, before our good teacher, and ask God to help us with that strength to love our enemies. If we don't have joy in circumstances that are really tough and we struggle, but we don't have the joy of the Lord, we need to get on our knees. We need to ask God for that joy. Because that's what he's offering to us. If we aren't faithful to whatever it is, to church, our spouse, our friends, whatever it is, we need to get on our knees and ask God to help us to be faithful. This is the good fruit that God is offering to his children. This is what we, these are our treasures in our Christianity. It's not good to just be who we think we need to be. Because sometimes we think, yeah, I'm floating through life. I'm doing okay. I feel like I'm doing good. Well, the true measure there is, Lord, where do you want me? Where do I need to be? Not, I think I've arrived. Because I guarantee you, if you think you've arrived as a good Christian, God's going to test you, and he's going to help you see you have not arrived. And so we need to be careful with that. We need to be who Jesus wants us to be. And yet, that's not all for this message. There is a fourth good in the four goods of the gospel. It's the good testimony. The good testimony. He doesn't only offer us good treasures. We don't only listen to the good teacher and the good tree and the good treasures, but he says, you're going to have a good testimony. What's a good testimony? Well, have you ever sat and listened to someone's give you their testimony before? Some testimonies are from dark to light. Some don't seem so dark and still to light. And so let me share with you. Some come in and they give us your testimony and they kind of just set us back in our chair and we're like, wow, God is amazing. He changed that person from darkness to light, to totally different people. They come from drugs and alcohol, sexual immorality, idolaters, and they heard the voice of the Lord and they turned their lives to Him, and now they testify that they are free, free in Christ. They have been forgiven. They no longer need or want their old lifestyles. To live is to have Christ as their Lord. And we've all heard those kind of testimonies. And then there's another testimony that goes like this. They were raised in a Christian home, gave their hearts to Jesus early in life. He not only taught well, but He kept them from many trials and struggles. They were saved from the lifestyles of sin and shame and never regret giving their lives to Jesus to make it what He wants their lives to be. The world wants to hear the dark and God, you know, change them opposite. And I want to tell you, they're both disciples of Christ and they're both just as powerful as each other. The one with a huge testimony that the world says, whoa, you've got to be kidding. That I can't believe that he or she is walking in the doors of a church. And it's the same for the person who was raised in a Christian home and got saved from so many things. That's a huge testimony as well. Jesus Christ is the giver of life. He's the giver of life. Whether we were down and dark in the alley or we were raised in a Christian home and we were raised and taught by the greatest teacher you've ever known. Never forget, God's will for your life is that we give Him our lives, we listen and we apply His truths, and produce good in this world that will truly glorify Him as Lord. Anything else will be thrown out. Kind of puts life into perspective, doesn't it? So what's our calling, church? What is God calling us to? It's to be like Christ by the power of His Spirit living within us. Teach the truth. Produce the good from that truth. Enjoy the treasure that He has to offer us and the world. Be a good living testimony because of the power of Christ who lives in you as a believer and trust in His great name. So we have the good teacher, we have the good tree, we have the good treasure. And we have the good testimony. God takes us and He teaches us and leads us into people, His people, that have the greatest testimony you will ever imagine. And it's all because of the name of Jesus. It's all because of what Christ is doing in us and through us. And that we can walk out into our world and we can be a great testimony for Jesus Christ. For our God Almighty, the creator of this world. That's what God wants to make us into. And we need to listen to the greatest teacher ever known to mankind. That's where we are. And that's who God is calling us to do, to go out into our world and be a testimony to Him and to glorify Him. The good teacher produces good students. I've added a fifth good. And my daughter and my wife told me about this when I preached this sermon this morning. We saw five goods, not four. So I stand corrected. There's five goods. The good teacher produces good students. We need to listen to the good teacher. And I'm going to add the great teacher, the greatest teacher. Are you with me? Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You're the good teacher. We thank You, Lord, that you show us that from a good tree only good comes. The good fruit comes from it. And Lord, we get all of our goodness. We get all of the good things from You directly. Father, we thank you for the good treasures. Besides just knowing you and knowing that your love for us and what you did on that cross for each one of us, and you rose again on the third day, Lord, you give us the fruits of the Spirit. And we are so thankful that we are able to love. We're able to be patient. We're able to be kind. We're able to be faithful. And the rest of the fruits of those spirits, Father, we thank you for those treasures in our lives. So that, Lord, we can go out and be a good testimony to the world. May we listen to our good teacher. May we simply bow before you. Where we don't feel like we measure up, because none of us are going to measure up, help us to be on our knees. Lord, maybe it's something that we need to work on. But more than that, it's something we need to depend on you to give us. Father, thank you. And I praise you for all that you're going to do in the lives in this church, the church in Lakeview, the body of Christ around the world. Help us to never give up. Help us to not be that student, Lord, that just comes to class and is ready to leave because they don't want to hear anymore. Help us to be the good student. Help us to know without a doubt our good teacher is the greatest teacher ever known to man. We love you, we praise you, in Jesus' name. Amen.